Welcome back to another episode of Kicking It with Krish. Today I'm joined by one of my good friends, Jorge Vasquez, a freshman at MIT studying computer science. Welcome, Jorge. It's great to have you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. How's everything going so far?
It's actually going really well. I've enjoyed the welcoming environment here at MIT. It's been a lot of fun getting to start classes, start university, meet a lot of people, meet a lot of friends. And just have a lot more things to do here around Cambridge.
That's great to hear. Now, Jorge, you and I both came from Booker T. Washington in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Obviously, very different climates, very different experiences. How's the change been so far, just shifting from Tulsa to Cambridge?
At first, I would describe it as a change of, I suppose, wonder. It's been really nice to have like this new setting, this new environment to sit in, be a part of. I would say I like MIT, Boston, Cambridge a lot more than I've enjoyed my time in Tulsa. Nothing against the Hornets. Nothing against the Hornets, of course. I do support the Beavers, Tim, let's go, a lot more. It's also part of the fact that I'm now in university. I've now developed a lot more, I would say, than back when I was 14, 15, starting high school. A lot more things to do. I'm in Cambridge right now, but I cross the street, 5 minutes, 10 minute walk. Now I'm in Boston. One thing I would say I don't like, the city of Boston very much does so sleep at night. Around 10 p.m., everything starts closing. It's a bit disappointing, but I've made the rounds a lot with my friends walking through. It's a really beautiful city at night. You can stand on the Harvard Bridge, look out. Really great pictures. Great for the gram.
Yeah, great to hear. I'm sure the scenery is quite different in Boston than it is in Tulsa, but I'm sure it's also a little bit colder up there too, you know? So what experiences and, you know, activities have you kind of been involved in at MIT so far?
I tried joining several clubs at the beginning, and I found that for me personally, it was best to just take my time and focus on a more slow easing into MIT. I've decided that I'm going to try to join intramural soccer beginning the next semester. I have gone to a few meetings of SHIP, which stands for Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers, which connects you with businesses, other students who are like-minded as you. Great fun, good environment. I've also picked up a couple hobbies such as poker.
Oh,
I've
really?
I've been going to the poker club a bit.
Yeah, I've been dabbling in a little bit of poker myself. Have you been winning?
That's good to hear. I've been part of a few, one local, just friends, which I lost all my money, but no worries.
You don't have a good poker face?
I've actually been told by one person specific that somehow I make the right calls, I make the right raises, but they just know I have something, and they just always are able to fold perfectly. But yeah. I am very much just starting. It's been maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks. I started dabbling like properly. So hope to get better with time.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, you haven't lost too much money. That's all great to hear. What about classes and academics? You know, obviously MIT is super prestigious, especially, you know, studying computer science there. How's that been so far? What are some of your favorite, you know, memories in your classes? What classes are you taking?
So far, I've mostly just doing the GIRs, like the general institution requirements. I'm taking, I don't know my number rather than the actual class name, but chemistry, calculus, physics, as well as basic introduction to French literature, which is actually a really fun class, I would say. It is in French, so that's a benefit, I would say.
Yeah, and you you took French in high school, right?
Yes. I started learning it freshman summer, and then I was in the IBHL program in AP French my senior and junior years.
Gotcha. So you're pretty proficient, and you were able to read these books with ease?
I would say so. Specifically, the class, the number of it is 21G.312. It's mostly actually really fun because it's based off of like a French series. So like a show on Netflix.
Oh, and which show?
It's actually called Lupin. It's based off of like the story of Arsène Lupin, which is a very commonly known book in France, like very popular.
That's great.
It's a really good time, I would say, because you get to watch a Netflix show basically as your assignment. Then you write an essay about it, or a short answer. Then you go into class and you spend 3 hours a week just talking about it. So,
Yeah, great to hear. What are some other classes that, you know, you're kind of enjoying right now?
So I do enjoy physics. I would say my grade isn't the top notch most in that one, but
Yeah.
It is an enjoying class because I would say it has, like, IB has prepared me for the physics course here, but it's very much a different take. A lot more calculus heavy. And again, the calculus here also a bit more intensive, I would say, than back when in high school. But it is, here, let me say this actually. It's very important to note that all the courses here are very intertwined. So I'm taking chemistry, French, physics, calc, and then also a CS intro to Python class. But the calculus, physics, and chemistry were so similar, I would say. For the very first like 2 to 3 weeks, if you asked me like what material I was learning chemistry and physics. I was learning physics and chemistry. Calculus was very based on the physics approach. And so I do appreciate the fact that the MIT curriculum is very set to not just isolate the topics, but to give you a more contextual understanding of how they work with the other branches that are of STEM.
Yeah, no, I can definitely resonate with that point. You know, just with my classes here that I'm taking so far, all of them are very intertwined, whether it's, you know, English or, you know, a social science seminar or a humanities class, they all, you know, intertwine in some way. So I can definitely agree with that point. Now, you mentioned taking, you know, IB physics, probably AP calc, and you were also involved in robotics, if I remember correctly, back in high school, right?
Yes.
So how have those activities, you know, that you did in high school kind of, you know, led you to find some interest in college, or maybe, you know, led you away from some classes and concepts in college?
I never really considered the way they might have led me away from some things, but I would say that my experience with robotics did make me more interested in joining the robotics course here. Unfortunately, one of the subset courses of six, the way it works here is basically every single course has a number designated to it. So for computer science, it's course six. And one of the subsets was 6-2, which was with robotics, but MIT has decided to disband that specific subset. And they're going to replace it with something more mixed with electrical engineering. But it was an interest of mine at the time, considering MIT. And I do realize there are several robotics clubs here that I have shown interest in and will probably try to join, if not next semester, my sophomore year. I do feel that my experience in robotics was mostly programming. And so thanks to that, that's what led me to joining course six and deciding to become a 6-3 major, which is most specifically just pure computer science. There is a 6-4, which is artificial intelligence, and a 6-14, which is computer science mixed with economics. But from my personal standpoint, although I was interested in economics and did take economics back in high school, the economics here is a lot less theory-based and so much more math than what I expected. And I decided I would much prefer to just stick to 100% computer science. So,
yeah, that's interesting to hear. And again, you know, very similar here at Michigan too, with some of the points you touched on. Now, just for, you know, kind of the audience, you know, I personally was never involved in robotics. What exactly is robotics, just at the high school level, and then also for like the college level? Like, what's the main distinction?
So at the high school level, I was personally involved in FRC, which stands for the first robotics competition. This is a competition, I suppose, it's like international, of course, but there's a game proposed to teams. The teams then have to build a robot during the build season. After building the robot, they go to competition, they compete, they try to complete the objectives, and they get awarded points, move on in the rankings, go to Worlds, which is the international competition, and then they get, you know, placed. During here at MIT, I'm sure at other universities as well, it's much more like objective based with like the real world. I know we have programs here that are known as like UROPs, which is undergraduate research opportunities.
Right. I think
and
we have in Michigan too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I know one of them specifically was involved in one of the projects that, like, one of the robots that NASA decided to take to Mars. So there are, it's like really cool to see a much more like real world usage of like these robots that we create. There's, so during FRC, the challenges provided are made up to try to resemble issues that one would approach in the real world. Whereas at the university level, you're directly working on those problems already. There's no in between. You don't need to go to a company to start practicing, start performing something. You can apply to underdeveloped countries or in more developed countries as well. You can just straight up start working on it. And there's a huge support community, huge people who are like-minded as you who want to achieve the same goals as you.
Right. That all makes sense. And thanks for the kind of clarification on the distinction. You know, Jorge, you and I were obviously back, you know, friends back home in Tulsa. And obviously you had a friend group as well at Booker T. You know, how's it been like making new friends at MIT? You know, what does your friend group kind of look like? Like, how have the experiences been with your friends and just, you know, going to a new school, a new college?
It's been really simple, actually. Here, there's very much a collaborative environment, more so than I expected, to be honest. I thought it would be a bit competitive, considering everything, you know. But in fact, it's really, people here are very nice, very helpful, very eager to lend a helping hand when they can. During classes, considering how difficult it is to really do the material, you're kind of forced to talk to other people. You can't really solo it yourself. So having that kind of, I suppose, initiative to meet new people, to try to understand the material more and have a group to support you outside of just class and your teacher and the TAs is a really easy way to make friends.
Yeah,
aside from that though
study oh, groups right like
yes study groups of course
yeah
to work on the PSETs here. Me personally, I'm residing at McGregor House, which is just one of the, I think, 11 or 13 dorms here at MIT. And the way my building works is it's structured into entries. And my entry is, I like the community quite a bit. It's very simple. You just go out, talk to people. It's very collaborative. I know some other communities, every dorm has their own culture. So there is like events during orientation, which is known as Rex, which lets you explore every single dorm. And in case you feel that the place where you got matched into is not the right fit, you can switch out. I know several people who have made friends, decided to move to then be closer with those friends, or because of the community they've been placed in for their dorm, are able to make new acquaintances, new relationships with people. So it's very, it's, if you want to make friends, it's not going to be an issue here for you.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of going off that point where you're talking about, it's, you know, have that initiative just through like study sets and problem sets. I can definitely, you know, add in on that. I'm taking an econ class right now, pretty challenging. And, you know, just those problem sets, cranking them out with others, a lot of math involved. It's just fun to work with other people. You also have a little bit of motivation just to get stuff done, especially when you're with people you enjoy the company of and can hang out with. You mentioned a little bit about dorm life. So how's dorm life been for you so far? You know, it's obviously a big change, moving from a house to a dorm, living by yourself, having all that independence. Hopefully you've been using that independence in a good way, in a responsible way. But yeah, how's that independence been, and how's dorm life been for you so far?
Dorm life has been really fun. As I said, my entry, my community is very lively, very happy. We have several events organized by our GRA within ourselves. We decide to just have potlucks. I know in the future we're going to have a Friendsgiving event before everyone goes home for Thanksgiving. Me personally, I'm actually going to New York with some friends, which is, I'm hoping for that. It's going to be lots of fun, I'm sure. But overall, it's been great. Right now, something unique about McGregor House is every single room, except for one, is a single. So there is a lot more added independence to that. There's no roommate for me. which I enjoy.
Do you enjoy that? Yeah. Do you enjoy that?
I enjoy that. Yeah.
You know, that's interesting because some people really want a roommate, you know, especially
That's
freshmen year.
interesting.
They want that interaction, you know, that instant friend that you make. Or, you know, if you don't click, maybe a instant enemy, who knows?
Well, I feel, me personally, I'm quite social. I did not feel like I had the need to basically be handed a friend. I
Definitely.
knew I would be able to make my own friends. And when I come stumbling into my room at 5 a.m. after a late night walk, I know I won't have to worry about waking everyone up. So.
Yeah, definitely, definitely a benefit. Hopefully, you're not stumbling into your room at 5 a.m. too many times a week. But yeah, I just want to ask you if you have any, you know, funny stories you want to share or any, you know, crazy experiences. I know that MIT definitely, you know, they work hard, but I'm sure there's a play hard element in there too. So, any funny stories you want to share, Jorge?
Well, I'd say most of my experiences regarding funny stories have to be actually walking around Boston itself. I'd say when I remember this one time, I don't know how funny this would be, but I can bike. I'll just say that. I can use a bike. But for
Okay.
some reason, I had not realized that the bike, there's a public bike system here that you
Sure.
can
Yeah.
buy a subscription to. It's known as Blue Bike. But the seats are very, like, they change a lot. You can move them quite a bit. So there's
Okay.
settings. I did not realize there was a setting my first time using the bike. So I hop on and the seat's way too tall for me. And I just can't figure out how all of a sudden I can no longer use a bike.
Oh,
With
wow.
some
You
time,
couldn't figure out how to roll the bike.
I could not figure out what was going on with me. I thought maybe I was just really rusty. But then I figured out, I started using the bike system. I do have a bit of beef, I suppose, with Boston drivers because they do not like bikers for good reason, I'd say. We are a bit disrespectful. But I remember I was in the bike lane and a car ahead of me decided to turn, make a right turn, as you do, perfectly understandable. I think they saw me in the rearview mirror, and instead of continuing the turn, they decided to just stop in the middle of the bike lane. And as a result, I am forced to brake and skid around the car who's just sitting there watching me do all this. They could have just moved out the way. I ended up not being able to turn back into the bike lane and actually fell off the bike, skidded my knee, put a band-aid on it, everything was fine.
Nice.
But
Yeah.
the driver, he was a bit worried. At first, he didn't ask if I was okay. He actually asked if I hit his car.
Ah,
So
worried about the
he had
car.
his priorities straight. A bit confused as to why he didn't just finish the turn, but it was still, I look back on it and I smile. I'm not really concerned about it.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned biking. How often are you biking? You know, personally here, just because of the weather and especially with snow coming in soon in Ann Arbor, I haven't gotten the chance to bike, and I'm not sure that I will get the chance to bike anytime soon. But also, you know, the walks can be, they're tough. I mean, just it's freezing. I remember, you know, I was calling my mom earlier today and texting some friends just while I was walking back to my dorm after class. And it's a 10-minute walk, but that walk is, it's tough. It's freezing. And coming from Oklahoma where it's all shiny and sunny, it's a little bit different to adjust to that weather. So how often are you biking? Maybe I need to invest.
Well, earlier on, there was an issue with one of the public transit systems here. It was the Orange Line. And so the city of Massachusetts decided to supplement free bikes for a month to everyone. So I started using the Blue Bike system there a lot more. I used it perhaps.
Free bikes for everyone?
For everyone.
Really?
Massachusetts cares about its citizens, yes. And,
wow. And you got them,
yeah,
you got these bikes for how long? Like a day or?
Well, no, the way the Blue Bike system works is there's stations and you get to use the bike for X amount of time. In this case, it was 45 minutes. And then you go to a station and you leave it there. And then someone else can come and use the same bike. So there's no, you don't keep the bike unless you steal it. I have a friend who actually found an abandoned Blue Bike and decided to keep it. So no judgment to him. He's doing
no
what he needs
judgment,
to do.
Of course. No,
no judgment.
Judgment,
of course. No judgment, of course. But within this month, I used the bike perhaps 2 to 3 times a week. And then once the month was over, I just started walking places. You said it's like for you, 10-minute walk. If I really wanted to walk around Boston properly, it'd probably take me 30, 40 minutes because you have to cross a bridge, which is perhaps a 10-minute thing from my dorm and then actually walk around the city. So biking is so much more convenient, I would say. There is a bit of worry, of course, because it's Boston driving, and with the snow coming in and the weather, not a great time to invest as winter is falling.
Sure, yeah.
But
do you have a winter coat and, you know, boots and
oh yeah, gear? I came prepared.
Oh, really? You came from Oklahoma with all the winter gear?
Most of the winter gear. Actually, you mentioned boots. I need to go buy some, but so far my Pumas have been doing just fine. So
yeah. So, you know, kind of wrapping up, Jorge, have you been playing any sports or chess? You know, one fond memory I have of us is, you know, whether it was, you know, physics class or econ class or even math class. I just remember, or even biology. I just remember us playing chess, you know, on our computers, you know, after we finished our work and, you know, having that little intense rivalry. So tell me a little bit about that.
I actually am on the chess mailing list, but I've never officially gone to a meeting. I have played with my friends though. It's been great. I've actually won a lot more here than I remember winning against you. I don't know what the what our scores lined up to be, but you're pretty decent, I'd say.
Well, I appreciate the praise. Thank you.
There are a lot of people who are really good here at chess though. I remember like in the first like club introductions, like when clubs were trying to recruit people, people would just be playing speed chess, and I would just be watching as these like two or three guys just destroyed everyone who tried to play against them. And then I would ask their ratings, and they'd be like, oh, 2200, 2100. Yeah. Just very casual about it. So
no, very casual. And, you know, speed chess is, you know, one of my favorites. I loved playing Bullet on chess.com, the 1 minute games. Always fun to think fast and think critically. Well, Jorge, it's been an absolute pleasure. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me on Kicking It with Krish. I appreciate you making time.
Yeah. Thank you, Krish. It's been a great time talking to you. Thank you for the invite. We should talk again soon. Maybe not just for the podcast, just you and I catching up.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure we can go into some more stories. Anyways, guys, see you next week for the next episode of Kicking It with Krish. Stay tuned.